It was an easy mistake to make. It happens. It wasn't as though he hadn't closed his eyes on occasions and pretended Sam was any one of a number of other girls, including his 40-year-old former tutor at university. But there it was again. That sound. Happy. Lost. Preoccupied with the moment. And Al realised that it was probably the last time that he would ever hear it. It made him sad and accentuated the magnitude of the decision he had made. He had been with Sam for 2 years at Durham University, and they'd lived together for a year of that in a flat with four other friends and a leaky roof. They were good times, probably the happiest of his life, but now they were about to come to an end. Sam was going to Thailand, and from there to Indonesia and Australia, where she planned to work for a while. A 2-year trip in all. There was no way a relationship could survive that amount of time spent apart. Not at their age. They were both 22 years old. And as for Al, well, was he selling his soul? He was certainly following a very different path, going to work in the city. For a while, at least. Until he decided whether he liked it or not. Or whether he might want his soul back. The lure of a couple of years backpacking around Asia and Australia had been powerful, particularly with the thought of spending plenty more moments like this with Sam. But the fact of the matter was that he didn't have any money. That was part of the impetus of wanting to earn some, or at least start out on a career, the primary goal of which was to earn some. He was fed up of living like a student. In about 10 minutes, the two of them would have to get up, shower, dress, and go their separate ways. Sam to Heathrow and a flight to Bangkok, and Al to the City of London and his first day at the venerable banking institution of Trenchard Colville. In the meantime, he wanted to keep on listening to those little gasping noises she made, sounding more sweet than ever, as though forming a delicious little coda to the happiness they had shared. But the only way to keep the music playing was to get busy. Looking up at her, she straddled him. He smiled and gestured with his head. A little signal they both understood. And they moved together. A perfectly executed barrel roll. The practice, fluency and precision of which was as reassuring as ever. They smiled at each other once again in acknowledgement of this. And kissed before they pressed on, enjoying each other. As Al listened to those little gasps and their acceleration and frequency. As the soon-to-be exes sprinted for the finish to lie silent and breathless, under a thin glaze of sweat, with the knowledge that this was the last time that they would be naked in each other's arms. "I love you," he said, and he meant it. "I love you," she said, and she meant it too. They kissed again. It was awkward walking to Fulham Broadway Tube. They held hands. Al carried Sam's rucksack. He was never very good at goodbyes. Sam cried a little. He wiped away her tears and they kissed outside the entrance to the station. "Give me a call when you get to Bangkok," he told her. She nodded and smiled, wiping away a tear as she swung the rucksack onto her shoulder and made her way into the station. They had agreed that they wouldn't say goodbye, but it did little to alleviate the poignancy of the situation. Sam looked back at him, and there were tears on her cheeks, and as he turned around, he realised there were tears on his as well. But now he found himself in an awkward situation. He needed to catch the tube to work, but he didn't want to bump into Sam again in the ticket office. That would have ruined the moment. So he went and bought a copy of The Sun from a newsagent and, tucking it under his arm, made his way back to the station and down into the London Underground. Luck was with him. He managed to find a spare seat in the carriage of an eastbound District Line train bound for Monument Station. He had been this way before. Dressed in the exact same Marks and Spencer suit that he wore now. He had attended open days and graduate training fairs during his quest for a job in the city. Since his decision to work in investment banking, he had attended a number of events. They bored the shit out of him, but they didn't put him off. He wasn't going to work in the city because he wanted to be entertained. It was probably curiosity more than anything that had really spurred him on to apply to all those banks. But it wasn't a curiosity born of intrigue regarding the inner workings of the financial industry, but rather a hunger to know whether he could cope with it, whether he could succeed, whether he had what it took. Oh, and get paid like a bastard while he did so.